Part 27, Chapter 7. It had taken a little while to get the emissaries settled back down outside. Some had wanted to change their breathing cartridges. Another one or two had wanted a bite of something. Others had just strolled around, looking over the inside of the bowl, curious but friendly enough. One of them had gone so far as to haggle with a Chinese among the village refugees over buying a dog. He had never seen a dog before, and he thought it was cute, especially after it snapped at him. He couldn't understand that the Chinese, who spoke no Cyclo, refused. 5,000 credits was a lot of money to pass up. It would buy a house and farm on Splandorf, his home planet. But they were all settled down now. Even Lord Schleem, who had done an awful lot of wandering about, chin parked most of the time on the rounded top of his scepter. It was night. The platform was lighted with mine spots. The emissaries were seated on benches and in chairs which had been arranged in a half circle just out of the danger range of the huge metal square. Some were still talking to one another, but they were interested. Johnny was standing in the middle of the platform, and for a bit they wondered whether he was going to send himself someplace or something like that. The spotlights flashed off his buttons, and the creature on his helmet seemed to be alive. Interesting, even to a bored lord.
My lords, may I ask further forgiveness for absorbing your valuable time, but to settle this thing with Schleem, I fear we have to have a demonstration. It is a demonstration of excessive appetite. With your permission?
All but the combatant lords and Schleem laughed. A demonstration of appetite? Some sort of eating contest? They'd seen those before. But yes, by all means, go ahead. Johnny slapped the wand into his hand twice. Two mechanics came rushing out of the shadows with a very splendidly decorated mine cart. And on the cart sat a dragon, like the one on his helmet. It was about 5 feet long. It had wings, it had a neck, and it had a very ferocious head, a gaping, fanged mouth, glaring red eyes, and horns. And from head to tail, it had spines jutting out all the way along. A gold-scaled, scarlet-mouthed dragon. The mechanics made as if to lift the dragon down off the cart, but Johnny warned them back, as though the dragon might bite. Schleem guffawed. Engrossed as he was in listening, and knowing well it didn't matter what the devil did, he still could not restrain himself.
That's not a live beast,
he hectored.
That's just a painted figure made of clay. There are more like it right over there.
And he pointed toward the unfinished works where they lay, unmounted.
It's just a hollow image!
Theatrics. Good lord. The poor fool thought he could take these lords in like they were children. But the lords looked at him a bit reprovingly for interrupting, particularly the one behind him who leaned over and said,
Hush!
Schleem looked at him. He was a huge creature who must have had a genetic line back to trees. His skin was bark-like, and he had masses of leafy-looking hair. His arms were about a foot in diameter. Schleem decided he'd have to watch this one when he made his move. Not long now.
Forgive Lord Schleem. He has been under a strain and doesn't see well.
The lords guffawed now.
This beast on the cart,
continued Johnny,
is called a dragon. If you look, you will see his mother at the console over there.
The lords looked at the bigger dragon that wrapped around the console. They laughed. His mother. Sir Robert was standing in the door of the ops room. Behind him, Stormalong, with reports in his hand, was arguing with him in a low voice. But Sir Robert was shaking his head.
Can't believe this.
Finally, Sir Robert said, audibly,
Let the lad alone.
And Stormalong went back inside. Lord Schleem had noticed it. Somebody had reported the flotilla somewhere. Maybe he'd have to act faster than he had planned. He cocked an ear at the sky. They would arrive and launch something into the atmosphere he could hear. That was his instruction.
Now, if you will notice, The dragon on the cart is different from the dragon on my helmet.
He pointed to his forehead.
The tiny one has been fed.
Yes, that one on his helmet did have a small round ball in its mouth. A small, round, white ball.
And the one on the cart is hungry. For your collection of data on the flora and fauna of various worlds, you should have these facts. This is an imperial dragon. It eats moons and planets.
They thought it was a pretty good joke. Rulers were always eating up planets. Imperial diet. Get it? Good joke. The emissaries laughed. They understood it was an allegory they were watching. Clever. Johnny cautioned back the mechanics again, petted the clay dragon on the head, soothingly. Then he suddenly put his arms under the neck and belly, the way you might catch a wild beast by surprise, and staggered back. That dragon was heavy. The mechanics whisked away the decorated mine cart and vanished. Schleem carefully watched them as well as he could see into the shadows. Oh, they just went back and stood there, watching. All right. No problem when the paralysis beam was turned on. Johnny had set the dragon down on the center of the platform. And now he did a most interesting thing. He leaned over the dragon's head, and he was talking into its ear.
Very good,
said Johnny.
I know you're hungry, so go eat up Assart!
Out of their sight, on the other side of the dragon, he reached in, heard a soft,
now,
from Angus at the console, and ratcheted down the time fuse lever of the ultimate bomb lying in the dragon's hollow belly, to 5 minutes. With the thumbnail of his other hand, he pierced the cap of a smoke bomb used in mines to trace currents of air in shafts. White smoke began to pour from the dragon's mouth in jets. Ferocious. Johnny skipped back off the platform. Angus hit the firing button. Johnny's wand pointed at the dragon.
Go, and don't come back until you have devoured Assart. Go!
Wires hummed. The dragon, smoke and all, shimmered and was gone. There was a very small recoil. Johnny looked at his watch. 3.5 minutes to go. He walked back across the platform. There was a cold, cold hangover on it where it had doubled with the icy space of Assart.
Now, do any of you lords have a picto recorder you can trust? I do not want to use our own, since you might not trust it. I want to borrow a picto recorder, one that you can seal that can't be tampered with.
The lord from Faljapan, an empire of 700 worlds, said he'd oblige. He went to his apartment and got it out of his hamper. He came back and checked the loading. Johnny made him wrap a metal seal around it and clench it and make sure it couldn't be tampered with. The two mechanics now rushed to the platform and laid down a gyro cage from a drone. Johnny asked the lord from Faljapan to lay the recorder in the gyro slots. The lord glanced at the console to make sure it wasn't being operated, glanced up at the poles to be sure they weren't humming, and walked to the center of the platform and put his picto recorder inside the cage and, as Johnny requested, locked it down. He left the platform. Johnny glanced at his watch. 7 minutes had gone by. That dragon had been laid exactly on the surface of Assart. The bomb should have gone off 2 minutes ago. This next shot would put the picto recorder well up from that moon and to the side.
Now,
said Angus. The wires hummed. The picto recorder and cage shimmered and vanished. There was no recoil. Numbers on Johnny's watch whirred. 39 seconds. There was a change in the humming. There was a shimmer on the platform. The picto recorder and cage reappeared. The humming went off. There was a slight recoil. Two mechanics rolled up the dolly the projector sat on so that it was among the emissaries.
Now, if you please, my lord,
said Johnny to the Faljapan.
Would you please retrieve your recorder and take it to the projector and unseal it? And please be certain that it is your disc by putting a few words on the end of it. Then make sure there is no other disc or trace in the machine and put your disc in, if you please.
Lord of Faljapan did exactly as requested.
The recorder is ice cold,
was all he said. Johnny held his breath. He had a pretty good idea of what the bomb did, but he was not sure. This was the touch-and-go moment. He hit the remote. Off went the spotlights. On went the recorder picture. There in the dark before them was a Sart, three-dimensional. There were the five ellipses which identified it. Used to bombs and explosions, they had indifferently expected to see some high tower of dust or smoke. Actually, they had not thought, most of them, that much would happen. Johnny had been so calm, so polite, certainly not a mood in which one engaged in war. They didn't see anything strange for a moment. And then, as the picture rolled off the disc, they saw a hole. A hole occurring in the upper right surface of a Sart. Just a hole? No, there was a bit of black around the edge of it. Schleim, ear cocked at the sky, felt a jar of alarm. What in the name of 50 devils was going on here? But he relaxed. Bombs went boom. There were no bombs that made just a hole. The picture went off, and Faljapan's
"My voice here"
came on.
Theatrics!
Laughed Schleim.
You're engaging in nonsense!
My lords, does another one of you have a picto-recorder I can borrow?
Yes, my lord Dom had one. He went and got it, and they went through the same procedure as before. Angus updated the time, cast the recorder to a new angle, and got it back. Lord Dom, a little bit frightened at the implications of this to the 1,200 worlds of his republic, had a quaver in his voice when he put it on the disc. Johnny hit the switches. A Sart gleamed in the dark before them. About 1/100th of the moon had become a hole edged in curling black clouds. And just before the view went off, down in the lower left, it looked like a door had opened in the crust, not part of the growing hole. A breath of terror trembled through the gathering. But Johnny was not going to let it become a riot.
You see, my lords, the dragon was hungry.
He laughed lightly.
He is also a very obedient dragon. Told to eat the moon, he is eating a Sart. A very controllable dragon, after all.
Had he hit them with ice water, he could not have produced a more chilling effect. Their eyes focused on him in growing horror. Schleim broke the spell. It had occurred to him that he had a new way to guarantee success. He had a spare gun in his hamper, as well as a recorder. He had just felt in his boot and discovered the weapon gone. Damn that valet! Hoven slaves were never any good.
All you are doing,
said Schleim,
is casting that recorder out somewhere to a model you've made in the hills. And you have people regulating a model for it to photograph. You're a fraud!
And Schleim really believed it. But he had to make sure before he went off the edge.
There's a recorder in my hamper.
Go get it.
Schleim rushed to his apartment. He scrambled through the hamper. Ah, not just a spare gun, but also a spare scepter hidden in the bottom. A spare with another paralysis beam in its heel. He could leave one on in a chair while he carried the other one out to turn the power cable off. Ha ha! Three blast grenades. After he turned the beam on, he'd pitch one into the ops room and use the other two to silence anyone rushing out of another door. Perfect. He wouldn't torture the Hoven slave after all. Good fellow. Schleim carried the whole hamper back to the gathering and set it beside his chair, cautiously opening it so they wouldn't see what else was in it. He removed the picto recorder. It was a different make and type, but it played a disc.
Devil,
said Schleim.
We will end your fraud here and now. You would not know, not being a native of a proper planet, that on the back of a Sart is a huge diamond with a slash. It is done with hyperband nullifying material to act as a navigation and identification marker. It is unknown to practically everyone except a fleet officer. The marker will not show up on your standard recorders, and you have none like this one that takes the hyperspectrum as well as what you call visible light. It will show that diamond and slash. Yours won't. So, of course, you didn't put one on your fake model. I am about to expose you as the fraud of all time!
He sounded confident. But before that rig was destroyed, he really had to know. Was it a model up in the hills, or was that a Sart? If it was a Sart, should he be sure his torturer got the secret of teleportation? What a weapon! He slithered over and put his recorder into the gyro cage, sealed the cage shut with a claw pattern, and walked off the platform. Angus had heard it all. He shifted coordinates so that the recorder would view both the back of a Sart and the hole. He fired it and recalled it, and when the recoil died, Lord Schleem raced up to it, checked the claw pattern. It had not been broken. He came back to the projector. He made absolutely sure it was not projecting something else. He put,
"This is Lord Schleem,"
on the disc and put it into the machine. Did his ear detect a far-off whine in the sky?